Will our various classes be dismissed? We are working on here in the auditorium this series of worshiping our way out of, and we can put so many things in that blank. We've already put several things in that blank, and we're going to continue with God's help to put things in that blank. Specifically, in recent weeks, we've had this in the blank, worshiping our way out of rotten speech. Can anyone remind us what sort of verse? I'll give you some big clues and hints. Anyone remind us kind of what big verse we're using out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to as sort of an anchoring point here? Who can quote that? All right, Edu? Very good. Yeah, Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupting word. And that word corrupting is well translated in English by rotten. Let no rotten word come out of your mouth. Here it is. Let no unwholesome word or corrupting word, rotten word. Again, we looked at the exclusive language from God's word as God, by his grace, seeks to sanctify our speech as believers. No unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. There can surely be no more de-edification word, destroying word, than gossip. And so we're considering specifically gossip. But again, we've seen this slide several times, so I don't want to dwell on this slide very long. But here's why we can say we're worshiping our way out of whatever it is. We're worshiping our way out of fear, anger, depression, rotten speech, because of God's amazing saving grace in our lives, so transformative that we've become new creatures with new hearts, specifically with speech, new creatures with new hearts. Jesus reminds us that what comes out of our mouth proceeds from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're now individuals by God's grace with new hearts. That's going to result in new...
I didn't hear what you said.
I didn't say anything, sorry. My kids got this for me, and most I don't even know what it does most of the time, so I don't know what that was. I think I said series, and it thought I said that lady's name or whatever. My face is turning red. I can feel it. I don't know if you're seeing it or not, but... New creatures with new hearts, with new mouths, and man, the indwelling presence and power and person of the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer. So that Romans 6 becomes a reality. You don't have to keep on presenting your mouth as a member of unrighteousness. I don't have to go on presenting my mouth as a member of unrighteousness, but we can present our mouths, our instruments, as instruments of righteousness to the glory of God, living out progressive sanctification in our life. That's why it's possible for us to worship our way out of. Remember, we are worshipers. We don't become Christians and then all of a sudden become worshipers. We are by nature worshipers. The question is never a matter of are we worshipers or are we not worshipers, but what are and who are we worshiping? Remember from Romans 1? And when they knew God, they were neither grateful to God, they did not honor God, they exchanged the glory of the true God for the creation, and they worshiped the creation rather than the Creator. So you're not, I'm not, no one you know is not a worshiper. And that's why we're working on this series of worshiping our way out of these various areas of our life. So we looked at this gossip chain last week from Norman Rockwell. I just want to remind you that it was very interesting to look at that, and you did a good job in discussing some of the intricacies of that gossip chain. But then we took a lot of time last week and looked at this constellation of malicious speech. Now I ask you, I did something that we rarely do last week, and someone came in this morning, and this person came up to me like this. I didn't have my glasses on, so I didn't know what it was. And this person said, it's my verse sheet, which we looked at last week. And I asked you if you could remember. It was even on Friday features. If you could remember, bring your verse sheet back and your larger and shorter catechism back from last week. So I'm going to be a very, very gracious and merciful teacher this morning. Rex, good for you. Hey, good. Hey, look, well, if you want to hold them up, go ahead. That's fine. If you didn't bring them, what I was going to say was, just something we don't rarely, something we very, it's not normal for us to say, bring this back from last week from Sunday school. So that was asking a lot. But we really wore this out last week. We were just turning it over back and forth, looking at these patterns, particularly from Psalms, Proverbs, some from the New Testament, of this constellation of malicious speech where we start off with the slanderer who spreads false information, dangerous, harmful false information, the gossiper who does the same thing, but there could be things that are true about what the gossiper is saying. But regardless of those two, Scripture identifies the slanderer and the gossiper in these terms: a backbiter, a whisperer. We're not going to go. We went through all those verses last week, so we're not going to do that. By the way, I do have a dozen. I have a dozen sheets of the verse sheets and the larger and shorter catechism for those who didn't get one last week. You don't qualify. If you got one last week, you need to bring it back this morning. Marcy, okay, good, Marcy. So raise your hands up. If you didn't get one of those last week, please, and got a couple of visitors, love for you guys to have one as well. The backbiter, raise your hand up. Backbiter, whisperer, talebearer. A little higher, Hannah. The sower or the spreader, the one who spreads slander around, sows the seeds of discord, the divider. And worst of all, and it's true, it's just right, all these are straight from Scripture. I didn't make any of these up. The destroyer, the person who destroys lives, relationships, friendships, marriages, churches, the destroyer through evil and rotten speech. And we did a pretty thorough job exposing the sinfulness of gossip last week, just straight from Scripture on this compendium of verses. We looked at the hard issues of gossip. We considered those. We considered how gossip is really a worship matter. We talked about seven reasons why we must be aware of and beware of gossip in our lives, or when gossip is coming to us. I just want to go through those seven reasons, not like we did last week. We spent more time on them, but just in a brief review. Seven reasons why we should be aware of and beware of gossip is: one, because God clearly says in His Word, that's what this verse sheet was all about, God clearly says in His Word that we should be aware and beware. See, those are two different things. Beware means I'm on guard for it. To be aware means I'm looking out for it. So it's to be aware of it in coming out of me or coming out of others, and to be wary of it, like warning, warning, warning. And to use a word that we don't use that often anymore, because of what God says to us about it, is something that we should be mortifying, killing, right? In that sense of progressive sanctification in our lives. So God clearly says in His Word that we're to be aware of it and mortify it. Number two, gossip and this malicious speech is not a minor offense. It's not a mere slip of the tongue. It is a violation of the ninth commandment: thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. So when we do that, it's not that I've just slipped up. It's that at that moment, I'm not loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I'm not loving my neighbor as I love myself. Now, in light of that, did any of you get a chance to look at this? We didn't read this last week. I just gave it to you. Did you get a chance to look at the larger catechism and what it said about the ninth commandment, because it's so very, very thorough? I'm going to read the modern version of it, if you've got that. I'm just going to read the modern version. Let's see if we can identify some of these characteristics of malicious speech. Westminster Larger Catechism, Modern Version, what is the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment is, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does the ninth commandment require? The ninth commandment requires that we maintain and promote truthfulness in our dealings with each other and the good reputation of others as well as ourselves. We must come forward and stand up for the truth, speaking the truth and nothing but the truth from our hearts, sincerely, freely, clearly, and without equivocation, not only in all matters relating to the law and justice, but in any and every circumstance whatsoever. We must have a charitable regard for others, loving, desiring, and rejoicing in their good reputation, as well as regretting and putting the best light on their failings. We must freely acknowledge their talents and gifts, defending their innocence, readily receiving a good report about them, and reluctantly admitting a bad one. We should discourage gossip, flatterers, and slanderers. We should love and protect our own good reputation and defend it when necessary. We should keep every lawful promise we make, no matter what. And finally, we should do the best we can to focus our lives and thoughts on things that are true, noble, lovely, and admirable. That's what those framers were saying the ninth commandment requires. So thorough. And then they write this. What particular sins does the ninth commandment forbid? The ninth commandment forbids everything detrimental to the truth and the good reputation of others as well as our own, with special reference to legal matters in the courts. We must not give untrue evidence, suborn perjury. That's, in other words, bribe a false witness is what that is. We must not knowingly appear and plead on behalf of an evil cause or engage in overbearing and boastful exaggeration. We should never participate in passing an unjust sentence. We should never call evil good or good evil or reward the wicked in a way appropriate to the righteous or the righteous in a way appropriate to the wicked. Forgery is forbidden, as is concealing the truth, remaining silent in a just cause, and not taking it on ourselves to reprove or complain to others about some wrong. We must not speak the truth at an inappropriate time. Remembering that rule from Donover, is it necessary? Is this the right time to say what I'm saying? In other words, we must say the truth, but these framers are saying, but we must not say the truth at the wrong time. We must not speak the truth at an inappropriate time. We must not speak the truth maliciously to promote a wrong purpose. We must not speak the truth to pervert it into a wrong meaning, into ambiguous equivocations, or in such ways as to undermine truth and justice. Also forbidden are saying anything untrue, as well as lying, slandering, backbiting, belittling, gossiping, whispering, ridiculing, reviling. This is the malicious speech constellation. And expressing any kind of judgmental opinion that is rash, harsh, or prejudiced. Misconstruing others' intentions, words and actions, flattery and ostentatious boasting. Thinking or speaking too highly or too poorly of ourselves or others. Denying the gifts of God or the effects of His grace on us. Exaggerating the significance of trivial faults. Like that, exaggerating the significance of trivial faults, concealing, excusing, or rationalizing our sinful behavior when we're called to confess it voluntarily. Gratuitously revealing or freely revealing, just flowing out with others, freely revealing the problems and the failings of others. That's forbidden. Spreading false rumors, receiving and approving evil reports, refusing to listen to a just defense. That might have been an unjust defense. Harboring evil suspicions. Being envious or grieved by the deserved honors others receive. Or trying to discredit those honors that others receive. and rejoicing at someone else's disgrace or evil reputation, scornful contempt and foolish admiration, breaking our lawful promises, and finally, failing to promote everyone's good name, and doing, not avoiding, or not hindering in others as we can those things that give people a bad name. I read that because these were people who had thought through that, and they were saying, you know, gossip, slander, backbiting, whispering, those are violations of the ninth commandment. Not just a slip of the tongue, not a weak moment where we lack discretion in what we were saying. Anybody want to react to anything we read in that or that you heard us read? Yeah, sure. Oh, I thought you had one. Oh, you have a question. Oh, right in front of the microphone, okay.
I won't put Jesse on the spot, but he and I and Eric were talking last week after the message, and we were just asking questions like, I gave an example of something that happened to me several years ago. There was a young recording artist came and asked me what I thought about a particular producer in town, and I said, run. And I proceeded in no flowery words to tell him a lot of the things that I had heard from this producer's own mouth that so it was not secondhand information. These were things that this person had said, you know, kind of reveling in the, you know, shady stuff that he had kind of perpetrated within the music business and was laughing about it and I don't consider that gossip. I was passing on truth to try to keep this guy from getting burned. But it was not it was definitely not in the spirit of what you just read. I mean, I did not want this guy's well-being. I did not have his well-being at heart. I was trying to protect, you know, somebody else who had come to me and was asking my opinion about this particular person. And I don't have a relationship with that producer. I've worked for him, but I'm not friends with him. And so I didn't feel like it was I didn't have the ability to go to him and, you know, exhort him for the cruddy things that he did in the business. Comments.
Okay.
Was I right or was I wrong?
If you remember, there was something else I asked you to do this week, and I hope you had a chance to think about it, right? I asked you to think through some, the way we said it in the Friday features was think through some maybe gossip scenarios that you're not sure if that was gossip or not, or you were sort of hazy about whether or not you had crossed a line on something. Like what you're asking, did I cross a line or did I not cross a line? I'm going to ask you one question to start with, just to start with. Was there a sense in what you were saying to that person had this sense of beware, watch out to it? Beware, watch out of an individual who's known for, who you heard from his own mouth, what you were saying to him. Was there sort of a spirit of beware, watch out? Okay, just hold on to that for right now then, okay? Just hold on to that for right now. For example, I'm going to give you another scenario, so maybe we can float some other scenarios out there. So I was having a conversation recently with someone, and we were talking about a couple of ministers that we don't know personally. We've never even met these people personally. We never will meet them personally, right? They're just in a different orbit than where we are. And God has used them greatly in many people's lives. And we were singing the praise of these people. There was nothing malicious said about them. We weren't maligning their character. We weren't maligning their ministry. But we had an objective conversation about some points of theology where we are different about their theology. And so we were using their names and we were talking about them. And we were just saying, in that conversation, we were saying, we just can't go where they've gone to and come to the conclusions that they've gone to in their ministry on these points of theology. Again, nothing said about their character, nothing said about their person or anything like that, just that, but we were talking about them. And then just a little later in that same conversation with those same people, we got to talking about last week's and this week's lesson coming up. And one of the people in the conversation said, oh yeah, yeah. Same people, same conversation. One of those people said, I was in a conversation this past week with somebody, and I'm basically quoting this person. This person said, and I feel pretty icky about it. I feel pretty icky about that conversation. I was gossipy. And one person was coming to this person asking about a third person, and a very simple, easy answer could have been given that would have satisfied, it would have answered the question. And this person said, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? This person said, in sin, I gave more than necessary information that had to have colored that person unnecessarily. It just wasn't necessary. I didn't have to give all of that answer. I could have just given the short answer that person was looking for. So two conversations, we were in both of those talking about people. I think in one of those, we weren't gossiping. We were just stating a fact that on this point of points of theology, we just couldn't go there. We're just in disagreement about that person. Thank God for their ministry. In fact, really, really nice things were said about the people. But then just a little later on, here's a person saying, you know what, but I think I did cross a line in another scenario. I knew I was going to be jumping around a lot this morning. Let me just jump through some slides. And Buddy Holly said, it's so easy to, well, I don't know about that or not, but I know this. I know this. It's so easy to talk about others. Okay, all right. Maybe I'm the only one. It's so easy for me to talk about others. Is it easy for you to talk about others? Here's the next question. It's so easy to talk about others. Big question. Why? Let's just talk that one out for a couple of minutes. Why is it so easy to talk about others?
We don't have to talk about ourselves.
Ours is, yeah, we can let these be short answers, and if you've got a long answer, tell me, and we'll get the mic to you. But that was a short one. Why was it?
So we don't have to talk about ourselves.
Man, I'm telling you what. Good for you, Art. It's so easy for me to talk about others, and I love talking about myself at the same time. You guys are looking at one rotten dude standing up here. Apart from God's grace and His Spirit.
We like to point out others' flaws.
It's easy for us to talk about others because that's one of those hard issues. It makes me feel superior that I can talk about your failures and not my own. Steve, Thomas, say the same thing. Sorry, say again. It's a hard issue, isn't it? This is why it's a worship issue, because we're proud and judgmental. Maggie? Yeah, we talked about that heart issue last week. Gossip has a way of making us feel important that we are on the inside of an issue. We're on the inside of a matter, and we've got the info. And other people will need to hear about our judgment of that and our understanding and our piercing insight on that matter. Tilly. Too lazy to do the hard work of confrontation to their face. So we go behind their backs. Backbiter. We whisper, whispering. We sow. I think one of the persons this person was concerned about in that second scenario yesterday was, I have sown unnecessary information to that person. That's the sower. That's the spreader. Brother. Thanks, Joe. Now, it's good for us to have all these answers, but the reason I, if you remember, the reason I said I wanted to kind of have this dialogue this morning was for this reason. Hopefully, for our mutual sanctification. That we're going to go out of here saying, oh yeah, Lord, help me to be one that's willing to do the hard work of going to that person. Chris? Okay, microphone for Chris. Pastor Chris, please. Thanks, Cody.
Yeah, a couple things. I may have to recalibrate my mind between them. But one thing that I was thinking of this week is I've just, number one, coming to a realization that it's hard to say. It was like the first time I had to say, to admit to myself, I am lazy. It was a hard thing to say, okay, I am a gossiper. I do this. And to see, to be able to examine myself and just like, what are the patterns of like, and one reoccurring pattern, I don't know if I could think of an exception in as I've thought about some of the people I've gossiped about most recently, is you read it when you were reading the list, and it is, my very intent in gossiping is to hurt their reputation. Because I feel the need to discredit them for some reason. So going back to what Joe said, or even to what Tilly, like, I'm not necessarily concerned with confronting them because I'm not seeking their good anyway. And about Joe, it's like, I am, in one sense, I am murdering them or murdering their reputation. Like, that's my goal in doing it. So, yeah, that's the first thing.
Let me just say, that's a very transparent answer, and it's a very honest answer. And if all of us are willing to be as honest as you are right now, I think we would all say, and that tendency lives in my heart as well. That's why it's a heart issue, and it's a worship issue. So thank you for the honest answer, but we understand. It's not beyond our understanding when you know that.
The other thing is just also trying to come to grips about what this says about the type of person I am. But the truth is I love bad news. I love to spread bad news. On one hand, and holding that up in light of the fact that it is so hard for me to share good news. Mm. Like, it's easier for me to tell bad news about people than it is to tell them even the gospel. It's much easier and natural in relationships and in conversations. I can easily bring up bad news about people, but it feels so awkward to bring up good news.
Did you notice
the type of people we are? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice in that very helpful unpacking of the implications of the ninth commandment, there was a balance that kept coming out in it, and it was that if we're going to obey the ninth commandment, we must not be doing that which is detrimental to others, but we must positively be doing that which is positively helpful and edifying, right? It fills what 1 Corinthians or Ephesians 4:29 is all about. Let no rotten speech, no zero level, no rotten speech proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is edifying. And one of the points that I just kept coming back to was, not being envious of or grieved by the deserved honors others receive, trying to discredit those honors, and rejoicing at someone else's disgrace or evil reputation. Part of the things is, well, like when something goes really well for someone, be happy for them and boastful about them, not envious or jealous about them, and recognizing that and praising that, and not even using that as an opportunity to discredit them because God has blessed them in such a good and prosperous kind of way. It's all kinds of little heartstrings that we've got to work through on this, but it's very important. It's not just a speech issue. It's a heart issue. It's a worship issue. That's why we're talking about worshiping our way out of. God, I want my speech to be pleasing to you. I want my attitude towards others to be pleasing to you. I don't want to be slandering or backbiting or whispering about a brother or sister, demonstrating that lack of love for them. I know I was going to be jumping around, but let me just sort of go back here this morning. You remember we looked at these. This is actually an entryway to Donover Mission, one of the entryway. I don't know if it was the main entranceway or anything like that, but it was one of the entranceway where at Donover Mission, where Amy Carmichael was, they had a few of these sort of standards they would use for their speech inside the mission. And one was, before you say something, ask yourself, especially before you say something about someone else, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And the way those work, sometimes we can say something to someone that's true, and it's true, but it's not necessary. It's true, but it's not kind at that moment. Sometimes we can say something to someone, it's kind, but it's not true. What's the scripture word for that? Flattery or lying. It's kind, but it's not even true. Or it's necessary, but we say it in an unkind kind of way. All kinds of implications, how those work together. And then here's one that helps us with gossip, and it's this idea of the absent are safe with us. If they're not here, then they're safe with us. And then this one, not about to. Try to make it a practice to not say this about this person, but to Tilly's point. Not about them, but to them, if it's a necessary point like that. Now, I did want to go back, though, and just show a couple of things. The wake of the destruction of gossip. Let's just sort of read through these. Here's some of the possibilities of what can happen when there's gossip. Gossip leaves a wide trail of devastation wherever and however it goes. Word of mouth, phone, email, text, etc. Gossip hurts those about whom we gossip by revealing matters that are not ours to expose. Gossip damages the listener by spoiling his views of others. That's what this person was really felt icky about in this conversation. I think I've probably damaged the listener by giving unnecessary information about this third person. Gossip mars the gossiper's reputation as well. Gossip erodes trust and destroys morale. This is an interesting one. Gossip creates an environment of suspicion where everyone wonders if what is being said behind their backs and whether, let me read it. Gossip creates a social environment of suspicion where everyone may wonder what is being said behind their backs and whether appearances of friendship are sincere. Gossip ruins hard-won reputations with cowardly but effective weapons of misrepresentation. Is that what Russell did? Did that producer have a hard-won reputation that Russell may have hurt by misrepresentation? I'm not saying that was the case. Gossip manipulates people into taking sides when no such action is necessary or beneficial. Gossip exhausts the energies we would otherwise devote to positive witness. So when it comes to gossip, we must be fire extinguishers, not high winds that flame the fans of gossip. Proverbs 26:20, one of the verses we considered last week was, For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. I want to read this quote from John Frame that I thought about when Chris was sharing. And specifically in relationship to gossip. It's a general statement. The Frame says, we need more Christians who would lead lives of repentance. For repentance always challenges pride. If you're coming to God daily to confess to Him how much you've sinned, you'll find it hard to pretend that you are holier than everybody else. You'll find it hard to put on airs, to pose as the perfect Christian. When others accuse you of sin, you won't immediately jump to defend yourself, as if, of course, you could never do wrong and any accusation must spring from a misunderstanding. Rather, when someone accuses you of sin, you'll respond by thinking, there is a high probability that the accusation is true, and you won't be embarrassed to say, oh yes, I did do that, and I am terribly sorry. Will you forgive me? If we are able to humble ourselves before God, we'll be humble before men as well, and the church will be far better off if there are more of us like that. How many of us are going to say this morning, in terms of gossip, there's a high probability, there's a very high probability I've engaged in that. And, oh yes, I did do that. And I'm terribly sorry. Not sorry I got caught or sorry that someone got their feelings hurt, but sorry because that's a matter of worship. It's an issue of worship. And that wasn't loving God and loving my neighbor. And I want to worship my way out of those kind of things through repenting of malicious speech. I really didn't want to spend another week on that, but it's so easy to talk about others. Why? We discussed that. Now here's another question. Do we understand that gossip is sin, that gossip is a worship issue? Right. But here's a question for you. Is it always wrong to talk about others? I'm seeing a few heads go like this. Brian? Will.
I think the is it true and is it necessary are definite things. But I think is it kind is a secondary issue.
Okay.
Because I think you have to protect the innocent. And that's what Russell's doing. You're protecting the innocent. And you can bring that into the church context.
Right.
Do you not tell parents that there's a predator in the church? And so, while we do not need to stay away from gossip, I think it's a kind of a secondary issue in some cases.
What did I ask Russell? Remember, I asked him, what was the spirit of what you were saying? What did I ask him, what was the spirit of what you were saying? Was there an element of watch out, beware? All right, I don't want to leave this yet. Are we going to trust God for grace here at Grace Baptist Church, you and me? Say, God, put a guard over my mouth when it comes to gossip. Are we going to say, I don't want to be a person that's adding fuel to a fire that should be covered? That's one side of the equation, and the gospel rescues us from that, and God's grace rescues us from that. But we've got to be working that out as God is working that in. Now I want to go back to this question. Is it always wrong? Is it always, across the board, always wrong to talk about others? And the answer for Scripture is no. Once again, why? Let's just look through some verses very quickly. Matthew 7:15, Jesus is talking about somebody. He's not talking to them. He's talking about them. That's why talk about two doesn't always apply in every situation. He's talking about someone, and he says, beware. Watch out for the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You can say, Jesus, that's not very nice. That's not very nice, Jesus, calling people wolves. No, you beware. Watch out. Mark 8:15, And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And first of all, they misunderstood him. And they said, the Pharisees and Herod make bread? And Jesus said, I'm not talking about the leaven that goes in bread. I'm talking about the leaven that penetrates situations and people and brings sin into their lives. And he says, you watch out and beware of those individuals. In Luke 20:45, in the hearing of all the people, he's making a public statement to a bunch of people. A bunch of people are hearing this. And Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast. Jesus, those aren't very nice things to say. You're really talking about those people. You're really giving those people a bad rap. You're giving those people a bad name. Was he? No, he wasn't. He was talking about them. He says, you beware. These are dangerous people you need to be on the watch out for. They devour widows' houses and so forth. Here's what, in Matthew 18:17, Jesus tells the church in a public way, tell it to the church. What's that setting? Church discipline. Church discipline where a brother has gone to a brother privately, and then maybe a brother has taken two or three with him privately to a matter, and it's been established that there is a sin there, and it's been established as a sin that's unrepentant of there. And Jesus says, then tell that to the church. Make that known. Talk about that person out loud to the church. And people where we live get really offended by that, and they say, judge not that thou be not judged. Who are you to call that? Well, we've gone through the right process, and at the end of that process, Jesus says, tell it to the church. Paul's the same way. Dogs? Paul, you're going to call people dogs? Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Now, look here. In Titus, Paul is playing the telephone game. This is not from him. This is secondhand news. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, those Cretans are always liars. They're evil beasts. They're lazy gluttons. It could be really problematic if you and I were going around whispering about someone in our church saying, you know what? He's a liar. He's an evil beast. He's a lazy glutton. What's the next verse say? This testimony is true. This is not false. This testimony is true. For this cause reproved them severely. Demas has loved the present world. He's deserted me. He's gone to Thessalonica. He's talking about Demas. Now he's talking about Hymenaeus and Alexander. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satan, so they may not be taught to blaspheme. He writes to the Philippians in a public letter, and he says, help Euodia. Euodia and Syntyche, help them to live in harmony in the Lord. They're having some problems. And it's true, and it's public information, and we know it. So help those sisters. But how about this? Ephesians 4:15. What about speaking the truth in love? See, we can be tempted to say, I want to share something with you, and I'm just speaking the truth in love. That's all I'm doing. I'm just speaking the truth in love. First of all, that's out of context. Paul's talking about teach true doctrine, not false doctrine that lead people astray. Not a moment to say something about somebody. In fact, he qualifies it just a little later when he says in 4:25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor. Speak each one of you with his neighbor about those things. And then here's some more people, Paul, some more individuals that Paul talked about. He was talking about them behind their backs. Prisca, Aquila, Andronicus, Junius, Urbanus, Titus, Timothy, Epaphroditus, Clement. Was Rex's great 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 grandfather. Lois, Eunice, Justice, Philemon. He was talking about these people. What was he saying about them? These are my fellow workers. These are my fellow laborers. Esteem them highly. Think about them. Treat them well. He was talking about them in a good and a positive kind of way. Well, our time is up this morning for that. I'm not sure we got many scenarios discussed, Is there just one burning scenario in your mind you want to kind of pop out there? Okay, Nate, real quick.
Slander, so talking about slander.
Yeah.
Worried about talk about the hardest shoe, the deceitfulness of the human heart, and how we cloak things and make them not sound like, but with slander, a scenario where I was talking to a brother about a friend about a church he was going to join and an association of churches he was going to join where there was seemingly solid reports or evidence of misconduct and things that were disturbing and troubling in that church and association. And he quickly responded saying, that's slander. What you're saying is slander. So how do you define or differentiate between you think it's true. Maybe you haven't done the homework you should do.
Right. I had a similar question posed last week and also in an email saying possibly I've been slandered by being misrepresented about a theological position that I hold or something similar to that, right? And it's true. We need to be sure we know what we're talking about, right? Because just because we're saying those things don't mean they're all true necessarily. And it can be slander because slander is identified by that which is not true, right? So I think the key there is misrepresentation. Right. Close us in prayer, will you?
Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, may we guard our tongues and purpose to repent of where we have sinned against you in these ways. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We'll dismiss for some coffee. Yes.